We started a new series last week, Sunday, looking at the foundations of the early church, and we're going to continue that. If you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 6, and we're going to read the first seven verses. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. If you're following in the Pew Bibles, page 1098. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. In this Bible, it's called The Choosing of the Seven. But we're going to look at something different in that story. So this is what Luke writes in Acts chapter 6. He says, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, remember disciples is the word that Acts uses for Christians. So if you're a Christian, remember you're a disciple. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews or the Hellenistic Jews, depending on what you're reading, among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip and a few other guys with Greek names. And Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. We end our reading there, and we thank God for his word. Let's pray. God, we thank you for that word that you've given to us. It teaches us, it shows us something about the things that were happening in the early church, things that maybe we can even sense and see happening within the modern day church. But your word teaches us, that it encourages us, and it inspires us. And so, God, I pray that it will do just that. May your Spirit anoint the words on these pages. May they be spoken in the power of the Spirit, and may we hear them in that same power. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So last week, as I said, we began a new series looking at the foundations we see laid in the early church in the book of Acts. A church that was still new, still growing, still trying to find its feet. Yes, making mistakes along the way, but also laying foundations that have been essential to its life and growth even to this day. Last week, we thought about the Holy Spirit and how essential he is in any church. We looked at how the church in Ephesus was transformed when they were filled with the Spirit and began to follow his leading. And it didn't just impact the church, it impacted the entire city. It was a reminder to us that seeking the presence of the Holy Spirit and being obedient to his learning is vital for any church. And we also heard the warning that Jesus gave to that same church in Revelation 2. You have forgotten your first love. A reminder that we mustn't take the foundations for granted. That we need to keep coming back to them again and again to remember who we are. When we talk about foundations, we're not just talking about one thing. If you were building a house, the foundations wouldn't just be a single slab of concrete dropped into the ground. There are different elements, footings, reinforcement, foundations, walls, and the concrete slab, each doing its job, each part necessary, and if one part is weak, it affects everything that is built on it. And it's the same with the church. The foundation of the church isn't just made up of one thing, not just the Spirit. There are other elements too, and they're not separate options. They belong together. Last week, we saw how the church is brought to life by the Spirit. This week, we see how the church is shaped and sustained over time. Because a church doesn't just need life, it needs something for it to hold on to as it grows steadily. And in Acts 6, we encounter a church that is now growing. We're told that the number of disciples was increasing, and within that growth, there is diversity. The passage mentions two groups in particular, the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews. Now, just to be clear about who they are, they all belong to the church, so they're all Christians, and they're all Jews. The Hellenistic Jews were Jews whose first language was Greek, which was the language of the Roman Empire. They were part of what is known as the diaspora, Jews who had been scattered across the empire but had now returned to Jerusalem. The Hebraic Jews, on the other hand, were those who had been born and raised in Israel. They spoke the local language, most likely Aramaic, and they were more rooted in the local culture. So this isn't a divide between Jew and Gentile. This is a divide within the Jewish community itself. And at this stage, the church is still almost entirely Jewish. But what we're seeing is this. As the church grows, different people from different backgrounds are coming together around the same faith. They're hearing about Jesus. They're hearing about him in the temple courts, in the synagogues, in homes, wherever believers are gathering. And they're coming to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And now we see a particular issue arise in the church that it needs to deal with. We're told that the Hellenistic widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Throughout the Old Testament, God makes it clear that widows were to be cared for, that they were amongst the most vulnerable in society, and his people were to look after them. In the life of Israel, that care often fell under the responsibility of the structures around the temple and to the wider community. So this isn't a new Christian idea that they've come up with. This is something that God's people already understood. And we already see, if you go earlier into Acts chapter 2, we see that the church is taking this seriously. It says that they shared what they had, that they made sure that no one had a need. So what we're seeing here is not a lack of concern for the widows. It's some sort of breakdown in the care that is being carried out. A group within the church was being overlooked, not necessarily deliberately, but enough that it became an issue. And the reality is that issues arise in the life of the church, especially, and we probably all know that from our own experience. And if it hadn't been this issue in Acts chapter 6, it would have been something else that would have come up. Because whenever people come together, especially people with different backgrounds and different experiences and different ways of seeing things, there's bound to be moments of tension. And the New Testament is honest about this. If you read through 1 Corinthians, you find a church that is gifted and active and growing, but it's also struggling with division and confusion and disorder. If you read Galatians, you find a church that is drifting from its understanding of what the gospel is all about. These aren't failing churches in the sense that God has abandoned them. These are real churches learning what it means to be God's people. So we shouldn't be surprised when something like this happens in the New Testament or in our own churches. The lesson of Acts 6 isn't that problems shouldn't happen in the church. It's about what happens when they do. Because these moments don't just test the church, they reveal what the church is built on. When something like this happens, when tension arises, when something isn't working as it should, well, the church can go in different directions. And we see that across the New Testament. Sometimes it leads to division. In 1 Corinthians, people begin to take sides. Some claim they follow Paul, some Peter, others say they follow Apollos. And so what begins as a different outlook becomes division. Sometimes it can also lead to drifting away from the gospel. In Galatians, people begin to lose sight of the gospel itself. This group of people come in called the Judaizers, that they bring a different message to what the gospel says. They say that there's other things that need to happen too. They start to believe in things that are not part of the gospel. And sometimes, over time, it leads to something quieter, maybe less noticeable, but just as serious. It's what we mentioned about Revelation 2 and how the church in Ephesus was still active, but had forgotten its first love. When these moments come, and they will, they don't define a church as a failing church. What they do is they begin to shape the church. And that's what makes Acts 6 important to us, because here we see a different response to what we've seen in those other churches. The apostles don't dismiss the problem. They don't say that it doesn't matter. They recognize that these are real needs for real people. But at the same time, they're clear that something mustn't be lost in the process of resolving it. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. It's important that we understand that the apostles aren't saying that this work is below us. What they are saying is that the work we're already doing is important and cannot be neglected. Because if the ministry of the Word and prayer are neglected, then the church loses its center. They're not denying the problem, they're not picking sides, and they're not hoping that it will simply go away. But they also won't allow the problem to become the big thing in the church. Because they know that if the church loses its grounding in word and prayer, it won't matter how well everything else is organized. And so what they choose to do instead is to turn this responsibility over to others, to give their attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. When the apostles talk about prayer, we need to understand what they mean. One aspect of prayer in the life of the church, which I touched on earlier, is praying for one another in our personal needs and our circumstances. That's something we reflected on last Sunday from James chapter 5. And a lot of our prayer meetings are centered around this type of prayer. And it's a big part of the prayer circular that goes out on a Thursday. It's a vital part of the church life. It's how we carry one another. But the apostles are speaking about something slightly different here. This is prayer that sits at the heart of the life of the church. This is all about our dependence on God. It's prayer that seeks His wisdom, His leading, and His help for His people as a community. In other words, this is not only prayer in response to a need. This is prayer that recognizes that at every level of church, we need God's wisdom, leading, and guidance. It recognizes that if God doesn't lead us, if He doesn't guide us and sustain us, then all we're left with is our own understanding and our own strength. And we've already seen in this passage that when there is diversity within the church, and there should be, because the church is the church for all nations, then there will be different perspectives, different experiences, different opinions at various times. And left to ourselves, that kind of pressure would be more than enough to pull things apart. It's not explicitly stated here, but it would be hard to miss that their devotion to prayer and to the word shaped the wisdom of the decision that they made. That's why in Acts chapter 6, prayer is placed alongside the ministry of the word, because the church is not only shaped by what God says, it's also held together and carried forward by seeking God Himself. They belong together, word and prayer. One shapes how the church hears from God, and the other shapes how the church depends on God. And so they cannot be neglected. The disciples say that we cannot neglect prayer. And they also say that they cannot neglect the ministry of the word. What are they talking about there? Well, not just general encouragement, not just good teaching. This is about recognizing that they have a responsibility to faithfully teach, to faithfully explain, to faithfully pass on the message of Jesus. The message that Jesus is the Messiah, that His death and His resurrection changes everything. But it's even more than that. Because the Word of God doesn't just tell the church what to believe. It shows us who God is. God reveals to us who He is through the Bible. And this should be the God that we worship and the God that we point people to through our own words and actions. As we come to know God through His Word, it shapes how we think, how we make decisions, and how we live together as His people. So the Word doesn't only inform us, it forms us. It shapes our understanding of God's character. It helps us understand what His justice looks like, His mercy, His truth, His compassion. And if he is the God that we worship and declare, then we need to know this. Because we can't claim to worship God and then fail to reflect his character in how we treat people, how we speak, how we act. Because what we believe about God will always show itself in the life of the church, in our ministries, in our teachings, how we welcome others, and how we relate to others who are beyond the church community. And that's why the apostles refused to lose sight of the ministry of the word, not because it's abstract or detached from everyday life issues like feeding the widows, but because it's what keeps the church faithful to its calling. And in this passage from Acts 6, we see what that looks like in practice. The apostles don't abandon the needs in front of them, but they don't abandon their calling either. Instead, they hold both together under the guidance of prayer and the word of God. And what happens when they do this is the testimony to the strength of this foundation. The issue isn't ignored, they address it. And what we see here is that when the church remains anchored in word and prayer, even under pressure, God continues to build his church. Acts 6 verse 7 says, "So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly." This is not just growth for growth's sake. This is a church being shaped and strengthened under pressure. A church that is stretched as it grows and grows as it's stretched. Issues are not ignored, but the foundations are not compromised. And because of that, the mission of God continues. Acts 6 shows us that a church doesn't grow in spite of prayer and the word. It grows through the prayer and the word. What the apostles are committed to isn't a distraction from the work of the church. It's not just another spiritual discipline. It is the foundation that holds the church together and still holds the church together today. So the question for us is not whether we will face tension or pressure in the church or how do we avoid that. The question is, what do we turn to when we're faced with those things? Because the church, when a church holds to prayer and the word, it doesn't avoid pressure. It is shaped through that. And it's worth saying again, as we bring this to a close, that the foundations of the church are not separate parts that exist independently of one another. The Holy Spirit is not one section of the church's life that has nothing to do with word and prayer. They belong together. They're intertwined. Because the Spirit who leads the church is also the Spirit who inspired the Word. And he is the Spirit that we seek in prayer. That's why we're told in the New Testament to test the spirits, to discern what is from God and what isn't. And that's where the Word and the prayer become so vital. They help us discern what we're sensing from God. Because while Jesus says that the Spirit is like the wind, he moves where he wills, we also know that he will never act or ask us to act in ways that are contrary to the character of God that is revealed in Scripture. So we don't simply follow every impulse or direction that seems like a great idea without discernment. We test, we pray, we listen, we return to the Word so that we can be confident that we are being led by the Holy Spirit and not just being carried along by the spirit of the world. And when the church holds to these foundations, rooted in the Word, dependent in prayer, and led by the Holy Spirit, it isn't pulled in every direction. It is built up, held together, and carried forward. And that's what we see here in Acts 6. A church that God strengthens in every season, even when those seasons are difficult, when it stays anchored in these foundations. Shall we pray? God, we thank you for the gift of your word, and we thank you that when Jesus died on the cross, it tells us that the veil was torn, and so the separation between us and you was gone. We could approach you directly in prayer. And God, we thank you that your word shows us the importance of this. how easily the issue could have become a big distraction. The church could have moved in different directions. We could have ended up with two branches of the church, and of course that's something we've seen in history. But God, here we see the apostles in their wisdom say, we will sort this out, but we can't neglect prayer and the word of God. Lord, when we see situations and issues arise in our church, may we take this as a good instruction. Before we come up with great ideas, before we come up with solutions, God, may we turn to prayer and the word of God. As we think about the future and the vision of this church in different ways, Lord, may we turn to word and prayer. When we have decisions to make, even in our own lives, God, because while this is a word for the church, this is also a reminder for each one of us. When we need to make decisions in our own lives, God, may we turn to word and prayer. And may we not forget to listen for the Spirit and be faithful to His calling. And so God, bless us as a church as we move out into the week ahead of us. In everything we do, in every decision we make, in every interaction that we have with people, God, may it always be guided by Your Spirit, by Your Word, and may we do it in the power of prayer. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you want to stand as we respond in praise together?